Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
My memory is when something was is based on sporting events. How do you know that was 2009? Oh, that was the year Ireland won the Grand Slam. It's like, oh, weird.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Rugby Daily on Off the Ball with Dove Men Plus Care. Upgrade to Dove Men Advanced Deodorant and Body Wash. Let the confidence last.
Welcome to Monday's Rugby Daily. My name is Richie McCormack. On the way, are Leinster set to move to Kilkenny? Yet more upheaval at Ulster. And Pete Wilkins reflects on a dire afternoon for Connacht in the URC. First up today, Leinster could have an unusual home ground next season, with renovations at the RDS beginning this summer, which will eventually produce a new Anglesey stand. The province will likely need to find new digs. Perhaps not coincidentally, at the weekend, the GAA's Central Council granted permission for rugby and soccer events to be played at Croke Park and Portkicquive. The Aviva will become off limits later in the year as preparatory work begins for May's Europa League final and the summer gigs there from Pink and Taylor Swift. With Leinster likely involved in URC and Investec Champions Cup knockout fixtures, it would appear they could be played at Croker. The Irish Times reported yesterday that Leinster need alternative stadia for 11 fixtures next season as work continues at the RDS. They say UPMC Nolan Park in Kilkenny could be used for some early season URC fixtures. On the injury front, Leinster will likely be without Kieran Frawley for this Friday's URC visit of the Vodacom Bulls to the RDS. The versatile back sustained a foot injury during Saturday's win against Zebre. Scrum half Cormac Foley could be in contention for the Bulls as he continues his comeback from a shoulder injury. Martin Maloney has returned to full training after recovering from a bicep injury. But Hugo Keenan, James Ryan, Tommy O'Brien, Alex Soroka, Charlie Natai and Jimmy O'Brien all remain absent. There's yet more upheaval at Ulster, where Johnny Petrie has today left his role as the province's chief executive. His departure comes just a month after head coach Dan McFarland also left Ulster. Petrie has been Ulster CEO since 2019, having spent 4 years prior to that as Edinburgh's managing director. Petrie's first season at Ulster coincided with the COVID-19 pandemic, a season in which they also made the Pro 14 final, their last time to do so. Ulster say an interim CEO will be appointed in due course while a recruitment process is undertaken. Meanwhile, Ulster looks set to be without Billy Burns and Sean Reffel for Saturday's URC fixture with the DHL Stormers. Burns suffered a shoulder injury in Saturday's defeat to the Sharks, while Reffel damaged his ankle in the same game. Rugby Daily on Off the Ball with Dove Men Plus Care. Upgrades to Dove Men 72-hour advanced deodorant. Tough on sweat, not on skin. Bundee Aki and Finlay Beelan will both miss Ulster's URC game away to Benetton this weekend. Neither Ireland international will be integrated into their squad until after the fixture in Treviso. Conor Oliver and JJ Hanrahan are also doubts for this weekend's game after both were removed from the defeat to the Emirates Lions. Head coach Pete Wilkins was asked today about their multiple systems failure at Dexcom Stadium.
Look, for us, for myself, hugely disappointed. I think we didn't play well. I think we respected the challenge of the Lions, certainly within the camp. We talked an enormous amount about their attacking strengths, about their scrum strengths. We talked an enormous amount about the opportunity in terms of their travelling to play us first game on tour, in terms of the attacking opportunities we get. And I don't think any bit of our game really stood up and got one over the opposition. And I think that was the reason for my enormous frustration, and still is. I think, you know, we've had worse performances in terms of parts of our game going badly over the years. But to have a game where every bit of our game really failed to get a foothold and really failed to pressurise the opposition, that was incredibly frustrating for me. And I think on top of the we talked about it immediately after the game, but on top of the opportunity that was there, and I don't just mean the Lions, I mean in terms of the other results in the URC and the way they went during the day, that was the moment for us to really seize the initiative. And, you know, if we want to progress from being a team that's scrapping out for seventh or eighth position on the log and, you know, getting an away knockout game, if we want to really progress and become that team that's pushing for top four, those are the days where you stand up and you really make a statement. And we failed to do that. And it wasn't for lack of effort. It wasn't for lack of intent. But I think there was a carelessness about our first half in terms of the amount of turnovers and penalties we conceded. And I think that gave the Lions belief, but it also gave them numerous opportunities to refresh and catch their breath and come back at us again and come back at us very physically.
Munster have also provided an injury update today ahead of Saturday's URC game with Cardiff at Thomond Park. Ollie Yeager and Finney Witchley, they say, have started their rehab programmes following minor knee injury procedures last week. Alex Nankivell could be in contention as he completes the return to play protocols this week. Simon Zeebo missed the Ospreys game due to a low-grade hip injury but is due to return to training this week. Ruan Quinn, though, suffered a hand injury in Friday's game with the Ospreys and will be sidelined for a number of weeks. But Graham Rowntree will be boosted by the returns of Ty Byrne, Jack Crowley, Conor Murray, Calvin Nash and Peter O'Mahony after their involvement in Ireland's Six Nations campaign. Ireland's women's head coach Scott Beaman said in the wake of Saturday's Six Nations loss to France that he had no major injury concerns. Ireland lost 38 points to 17 in France, but setting aside a penalty try away to Italy, Ireland have already equaled their try total from last year's competition. A strong defensive effort was the standout on a testing afternoon in Le Mans, and Beaman says that performance has laid down a marker for the rest of the competition, starting with this Sunday's visit of Italy to Virgin Media Park.
Defence is normally a thing that shines a light on that. It's nice to see that Declan's defence get one at the end, put a bit of pressure on them. France were always, they roll their bench, they start to throw it around a little bit. That's going to bring opportunities with it, but you've still got to be there and got to be putting them under pressure to score them. So I think the character of the group since I've been involved has never been in question. I'm immensely proud of that. There's bits that will tidy up, there's bits of confidence that will continue to grow, both with the kicking game and the attacking game and the set piece game. So look, we got plenty to go at, but that was always going to be the case. I think the key thing, what you want, is to be able to come off and go, do you know what, we gave good account of ourselves in that respect. So we drew a line in the sand, we don't go backwards from that.
On this morning's Off the Ball Breakfast, Alan Quinlan said there was cause for positivity.
The kind of face of this, it's still a loss, and there's still areas that there's a deficit in, particularly around power, set piece, the line-out maul. But we know France are ahead of Ireland and a good bit ahead. But I think there's encouraging signs, which is that's what you want. And I think they showed great fight throughout the game. Even when things went wrong, their reaction was so much quicker, their speed of movement on the ground so much better, their defensive alignment. You know, they missed 43 tackles against France last year. They missed 17 on Saturday. That's something that, you know, you see every professional team now have 10 to 15, sometimes 20 missed tackles in a game, even when you win. So it's about setting a standard for themselves. And I think what the coaches have done and the players, they're trying to become hard to beat. And that's exactly where you need to go when you're trying to build a team. You become really competitive at breakdowns, defensively, being in the opposition faces, and then making good decisions with the ball, i.e., you know, your kicking game and stuff like that.
Back to Leinster, and they face competition for the signature of Wallabies prop Taniela Tupu. Leinster are in need of cover at tight head, with Michael Alaalatoa leaving for Claremont in the summer. Tupu's under contract with the Melbourne Rebels until 2025, but their poor financial health means they could be forced to cut contracts, Tupu included. Leinster had reportedly tabled an offer in the realm of €570,000 a season for the 27-year-old, who has 51 Australian caps. According to Midi Olympique, big spending Montpellier have now also shown an interest in signing Tupu. That's it for today's Rugby Daily. Don't forget to subscribe to the OTB Rugby feed to keep this podcast coming to you Monday to Friday free of charge. My name is Richard McCormack. I'll be back with more Rugby Daily for you, with thanks to Dove Men Plus Care, tomorrow. Till then, thanks for listening.